Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and I just love plants and helping people with their gardens. I'd love to hear from you. If you missed the first hour, you can listen to Better Lawns and Gardens on our iHeartRadio app, also the podcast, and everywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can hear it. We would love to have you join us. And you can listen at your own leisure or while you're working out in the garden. It's a good way to hear the show. So, Lizzie, I think I hear John Denver. And the dirty word of the day is four different words. And I want to just discuss this so that we know what we're doing in the landscape. And this is a time when we apply pre-emergent herbicides to our garden beds and our landscapes. And so the dirty word of the day, number one, is pre-emergent herbicides. What do they do? And herbicides are applied with pre-emergence before the weed germinates and emerges. Many, but not all, pre-emergence herbicides have little activity. They don't affect existing vegetation. Instead, they act on the roots or shoots of newly germinated seeds, often killing the seedling before or right as they emerge from the soil. That's a pre-emergent herbicide. A post-emergent herbicide is applied to the foliage of the weed after it has emerged from the soil. Some, but not all, post-emergent herbicides also have pre-emergent activity, while others have no activity once they reach the soil due to the binding or rapid degradation of the chemical. So post-emergent herbicides are what we're going to be using in the late spring and summertime on our weeds that have already grown in our landscape. Contact herbicides, and this term generally refers to herbicides that only affect the tissue directly treated with the herbicide. The herbicide does not move or affect untreated parts of the plant after application. Good spray coverage is essential for acceptable control with contact materials. So these are herbicides that you spray on the actual plant. Systemic herbicides. These herbicides can move from treated plant parts to untreated plants, either through the xylem or phloem. For example, a systemic pre-emergent herbicide could be taken up by the roots and moved to the leaves, or a systemic post-emergent herbicide applied to the leaves could move to either the leaves or to the roots. Typically, systemic materials work better on established perennial weeds than contact materials. All right, so that's four different types of herbicides for weed control. The pre-emergent for ungerminated weed seeds and real small weeds. Then you have the post-emergent for the adult weeds, the mature plants that are in your landscape. Contact herbicides affect the plants wherever they are sprayed. And systemic herbicides move through the plant down to the root system, up through the leaves, and it takes a little bit longer to work. All right? So that's our dirty word of the day for herbicides. And this is the time that we are wanting to put down pre-emergence. So if you have weeds, the best thing you can do is what I'm going to be talking about in the next few minutes. Our next segment, we're going to take it. You may want to get pen and paper to write this down, and we'll be talking about that. 1-888-455-2967. Yeah. Question, gardening question. Or you can text me, 23680. We want to talk and say good morning to Peterson's Nursery. They are starting. They've got their lawn chair lecture series. And February 8th, next Saturday, they are going to have their vegetable gardening for spring. These start at 9:30 to 10:30, except we're noted because on March 15th, I'm going to be at the Peterson's Nursery.
Ooh.
And we're going to be talking about design tips for containers. And I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that's pretty exciting. So, because a lot of people don't know what to do with the containers and stuff. So
yeah, they just go to the nursery and they just put it in and plant it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of like your outfits. You got to coordinate them.
Yeah.
And so I'll be talking about design tips for containers. Good. Vegetable gardening for the spring is going to be next week. So big shout out to Peterson's Nursery. Thank you. So Susan in Tallahassee says, good morning. Good morning, Susan. I have some Siberian irises, I think, that have a lot of cold damage from the snow weather. If I prune them now, will they still bloom? Thank you. Yes, I think they will. But it just depends on how big they are and how much you're going to prune. So what I would do, Susan, is just take off the damaged leaves. Don't just necessarily hack them down to the ground. Okay, so just take off the brown damage. You can just take scissors and you can cut them back, and that will be great. I think they'll recover nicely. Cheryl in the Apopka Altamont Springs area, we're going to get to you after our next segment. If it's Saturday morning, from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens on Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I want to say a shout out to Frank and Don and Paula, Jorge and Brenda. Thank you so much for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. We do appreciate you reaching out to us and liking our Facebook page and texting us. We love that. So now is the time we need to talk about pre-emergence and applying weed control. If you have weeds, you either have a summer weed or a winter weed. And what we need to do is we need to prevent them from germinating at different times of the year. So we've gone through our winter season. Punxsutawney Phil is going to tell us tomorrow whether we have, you know, 6 more weeks of winter. But I think it's kind of over. I'm really kind of excited to get spring started. We did have really cold months, December and January, which I loved, just to be honest. I loved it. But, you know, it's time for spring and getting the gardens going. So if you had weeds last summer, you need to start thinking about your weeds now. The next 2 weeks to 4 weeks are a good time to apply a pre-emergent to your lawn to prevent the summer weeds. Now, it takes 4 to 5 days of temperatures above 65 to 70 degrees for weeds to germinate. And this coming week, we're going to be in the 70s and 80s. So it's important for you to get that pre-emergent down. If you do it now, then if you need to, you can still have time for a second application of a pre-emergent before the summer. Okay. So common summer annual weeds, they include things like plants like crabgrass and Florida pusley, and the giant pusley, sand spurs, old world diamond flower, and spurge. So we're starting that new cycle for summer, spring and summer weeds, and you can put down a pre-emergent. And the herbicides that you want to look for, and I'm not going to give brand names, you need to go to your garden center, your garden nursery, your box store, and say, where's the shelf for the pre-emergent herbicides? Before you go, you need to know what kind of grass you have and what weeds you're trying to control. So if you will send me an email, I can tell you what kind of weed I have. You need to take a picture of the flower and the foliage and maybe a shot of how tall it is. You know, some good shots so I can make a good diagnosis, a good ID. And then you want to look for these chemicals: orizalin, benefin, pendimethalin, DCPA, just 4 capital letters, DCPA, benzylide. Those ingredients are good pre-emergents for our turf grasses. Now, if you go onto our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, you will see where I have a post where I name them. So if you didn't catch it or you don't know how to spell it, you can go to our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, and you can see the post that was posted today with the ingredients: orazolam, benefin, pendimethalin, DCPA, and benzylide. Now, there's some rules you need to follow for if you want to use pre-emergence. If your lawn is younger than 1 year, if you just put down a new lawn, you do not want to use a pre-emergent. So your lawn has to be older than 1 year. If you're planning to overseed your lawn, and that is the question by, let's see. Who asked me that? Somebody just texted me. Hold on just a second. So, Cheryl in Apopka, you asked if you could just put down the pre-emergent along with planting Bahia seed. No, you do not want to do that. Okay? You want to wait 3 to 4 months before you put down your Bahia seed if you're going to use a pre-emergent. Okay? So if you're putting down Bahia sod, I still would not put down, or any sod, I still would not use a pre-emergent. It's going to prevent the roots from taking hold quickly. All right, so it's the user's responsibility to read and follow the label. The label's the law. So when you get shown to the herbicide shelf and they say, here's the herbicide you can use for a pre-emergent, take the bag or the box, whatever, I mean the bottle, and look at the label. Read the label. Read that it's good for use on your type of turf, that it's good for preventing the weed you're looking to prevent. It will be listed on there. And then it's going to tell you how to use it. Okay? You want to water it in, and you want to make sure you follow the label exactly. So it's not time to fertilize yet. We do not recommend using a weed and feed. Okay? Only because you're telling the grass to kill something, you're telling the grass to grow. Okay? And so you want to make sure that, you know, you're applying a chemical that's exactly for what you want it to be used for. We can fertilize in March and April. We do not need to be fertilizing right now. If your grass is brown, it's not going to take it up anyway. So you want to make sure that if you're using a pre-emergent, don't use a weed and feed. And then just make sure. Now, on the back of the label of the chemical, the herbicide, there's an 800 number that if you have a question, no matter what time of day, well, it's usually business office hours, but they're usually open on the weekends, okay? And if you have a question, call them. That's what they have the number there for, okay? And you can call them, and they will explain to you exactly how to use their product or answer your question. So this is a great time to use a pre-emergent. That's going to cut your weed battle in half. All right. So to have a healthy lawn, what you need to do is water correctly. Okay. Overwatering does not help your lawn. It encourages weeds. And if you have dollar weed, ding, 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 big sign, you're overwatering. Dollar weed is an aquatic plant. It only grows in water, low-lying areas, shorelines, lakefronts, and in yards that are overwatered.
And what does dollar weed actually look like? I mean, I know it sounds kind of self-explanatory, but those that are new to Florida or new to a wetland area.
Okay, so there's a couple of plants that look like dollar weed. Dollar weed looks like a lily pad. Okay, so that nice little fringy, you know, trim, the leaf edges are little circle, you know.
Okay.
They look like a little ruffle.
Okay.
But it looks like a lily pad. Now, we have some natives, Florida natives, that also look like dollar weed, and that one of them would be pony's foot. And that's a pretty little green circular, but it's got a little indent in it that looks like a pony's hoof. And that is not dollar weed. It is a Florida native ground cover, and it's really nice.
Oh,
I love it.
Pretty.
Yeah, it is. And But dollar weed can get tall. It can get a little bit bigger than the pony's foot. Pony's foot stays tall. And so then you also then don't want to over-fertilize, because when you over-fertilize, you make your lawns more susceptible to disease and insects. So having a nice, healthy, thick lawn
is going to prevent a lot of your weed issues. So you want to make sure you're maintaining it properly. And there are some areas you want to make sure that you're having enough light to grow your lawn. You need at least 5.5 to 6 hours of sunlight a day to have a lawn. If you do not have that, don't try to grow grass there. It's not going to be, your efforts are going to be futile. And so you want to make sure that you're planting it in the right location, that you have a nice thick lawn, and you're maintaining it correctly. Now, if you have dead spots in your lawn where the lawn is not getting enough water, that's an irrigation issue. It's not a watering issue. If you have areas where your irrigation cannot reach and you're turning your irrigation on more to reach that area, it's not going to work. So you need to make sure you have head-to-head coverage on your irrigation system. One head, one emitter, one sprayer, one rotor should hit the other head. This is very important. If you do not have equal amounts of water going everywhere, if you do not have one head hitting another, you're going to have dead spots. And watering it more is not going to help. And you're going to get weeds. So this is all about weed prevention this month. Okay? No need to fertilize. You want to make sure that you're putting down a pre-emergent if you need to. If you don't need to, your grass is nice and thick and it looks good and everything's fine with it. And I'm not talking about winter damage. Winter damage is going to go away. Okay, you can rake it out or you can mow it out and your grass is going to be nice and green. Okay, and so, you know, when we think about this kind of issue, we're really blessed here. We don't have to shovel snow and we don't have to shovel sunshine. So, you know, we're really, really got a great state to live in. And so our lawn maintenance isn't that bad. But you want to make sure you have a nice, healthy lawn. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I'm going to be giving you more things to do in your landscape. And let's see. Let's go to all of these things. So should you be treating with a pre-emergence for crabgrass right now, Brenda and Okoe? Yes. Cheryl, our yard is weeds with some bahia grass. Should we be putting down pre-emergent and the bahia seed now? Can you do both at the same time? No, you can't. But if you already have weeds established, Cheryl, that's not for pre-emergent. You want to do a weed post-emergent on those weeds for bahia grass. 2,4-D or dicamba will be good for that. She says, also, is it time to prune crepe myrtles? We don't want to hack them back. We don't want to commit crepe murder. But this is a time to clip off the seeds, the crepe myrtle seeds, any stems that are going wonky where it's touching another branch, you can cut those off. You can cut anything off that's smaller than your pinky width. Okay? You can cut those off. Cut off any suckers. But if you hack it back and you take it straight across, you're going to have fewer blooms. They will be larger, but there's going to be less. And you're going to have more suckering. We don't recommend that. We're going to be back with more texts. Got a lot of texts and your phone calls. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. If it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back from Better Lawns and Gardens. We enjoy having you. If you're wanting to know where to find my favorite top five shrubs for wildlife resources, Quality Green Specialist Nurseries in DeLand, and it's at 335 West Michigan Street, is a great nursery. They have natives and non-natives, but wonderful resources for wildlife there, including winged sumac, mulberries, and blackberries. They have it all. So go over there and give Dana a big hug and let him know that you listen and you appreciate him supporting Better Lawns and Gardens. Then Howie and Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland. They also have some great wildlife resources, butterfly plants, and berries and vegetables right now. So you want to go by and check them out in Lakeland. And so we say, tell them the same thing. Thank you for sponsoring Better Lawns and Gardens. All right. So I have a really great question. So so Buffalo in Melbourne, or I'm sorry, Melbourne Beach says, my sago palm sprouted, and again, after having a beautiful set of new fronds, it starts turning brown and dries out. Is there anything wrong here? It's planted on the east side and gets a good 5 or more hours of light. Any advice? And she says, all the other plants around it are happy. Crotons, aloe veras, liriopes, planted in sand and a topsoil mixture. It's about 10 years old and 2 feet high, with baby palms trying to grow at the base. Well, Buffalo, it is trying to survive. Okay, so there's a number of different reasons why sago palms, their fronds will turn brown. And one of them is not enough moisture. Now, we had all that rainfall over the last 3 months. So I'm not thinking it's that, considering all your other plants are doing well too as well. But it could be a manganese deficiency. It's not getting enough nutrition. And sago palms are just like palm trees, where they need not only the macro, the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, but they need those minor, those micro nutrients like manganese and magnesium. So you need to use a palm tree fertilizer that has manganese in it to keep it nice and healthy. Now, if it's only 2 feet tall after about 10 years, I'm thinking it's not getting enough nutrition. Okay, it's not growing well. But now the brown fronds could also be disease and insect issues. They could be spider mites. It could be scale, the cycad scale. So overall, it's just not a healthy sago palm. Palm trees, including cycads, sago palms, king and queen sago palms, all palm trees and cycads are consistent fertilizing maintenance. Okay, they need to be fertilized on a regular basis because they do need that nutrition, and they don't get it out of our sandy soils. So one, I would just check to see how often you're fertilizing it. Okay, and if you haven't been fertilizing it, I would put down every 3 months or follow the fertilizer label, whatever the package says, the routine, the maintenance, and just fertilize them on a regular basis. Okay? Great question, Buffalo. Thank you so much. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680, and we can do that. So let me see. What do I want to go to here? Here we go. All right. So what should you be doing in your lawn this month? This is the first February 1st. Before you fertilize in March and April, go ahead and do this right now. Go ahead, take a soil sample to your county extension office, and they will do a soil test on it. Tell them what you want to grow, whether it's turf, whether it's vegetables, whether it's fruit trees, whether it's just flowers, your landscape beds, and send your soil sample off for a soil analysis, okay? That's going to be important, because you may not have to fertilize your lawn. It may have enough phosphorus and potassium in it. It may have enough nitrogen in it, which I'm sure it does, the nitrogen portion. But go ahead and get a soil test. Now, we, the University of Florida and the extension offices around the country, are now recommending that you get this soil test once a year to see if you need to fertilize. How much money is that going to save you? And if you have a landscaping maintenance company, I want you to ask them, before they fertilize, did they do a soil test? This is important. Okay, the landscape maintenance companies should be telling you, we're doing a soil test to see what and if we need to fertilize your lawn. You may not need it, and that's going to save you a lot of money. So make sure you're proactive and that you're taking control of your landscape maintenance. You're letting them know that they need to do a soil test before they fertilize. All right? You're going to sometimes hit, they're going to hit them blindside, and they're going to go, huh? What? Huh? All right? So just, right. You know. That head tilt.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, as you know, the, you know, just basically the people who, there are companies out there just come and cut, go, and that's it. Right. And they don't actually take care of lawns per se. So it's not a bad question. And like you said, it's going to save you money in the long run to double check. So you're not dumping all this extra money and buying stuff that you don't need to buy or picking up big, heavy bags that you can't lift me.
Yes.
Trying to get this taken care of. And then you just never ended up needing it.
Right. No, exactly. Exactly. So what else can you be doing right now? You're going to get a soil test. Okay. That's going to be great. You still have time to start your seeds, your tomatoes, tomato seeds, pepper seeds, and eggplants. You're going to want to transplant those in March. So go ahead and start them now. Get them started and running. And so prune cold damage from tropical trees and shrubs. Look at your tropical plants like your bananas. Just cut off the brown portions. You do not need to hack it down to the ground. Banana trees and most of the tropical trees, they need about 2 winters before they start producing fruit. Okay? And so you don't want to hack it down. Now, if you do, no big whoop. It's not going to die. But it's just going to delay you getting fruit again. Okay? So just cut the brown portion off and it'll be just fine. Papayas, if they have any damage, you want to cut that foliage off. And if you have any deciduous fruit trees like your apples and your peaches, this is the time of the year to prune them back. You've only got a short time because they're going to start to flower soon. And that means you don't want to cut them off after they flowered. So you can trim those back. Also, you want to thin your peach trees and your nectarines. And we have orchids. In the next 2 weeks, start feeding your orchids every 2 weeks with a light fertilizer, liquid fertilizer. And that's what they need to start their blooms for springtime. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Better Lawns and Gardens and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Just some follow-up points. The February newsletter for In Your Backyard is coming out next week. You can sign up for it at she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com. And I don't spam, and I don't sell your contact information. So you'll just get one email a month that will tell you everything to do in your landscape, including my favorite plant of the month, what to do in your garden beds, what to plant, landscape malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper. Lizzie's got a wonderful column, Lizzie's Garden Adventures, and she talks all about it. And what did you do this week in your garden?
I went through and I planted garlic. I don't know if it was the right time of year, but yeah. I mean, according to the package, it said it was, but I don't know. I mean, my cousin who's in New England, Chris, he grows black garlic.
I bet that tastes so good roasted.
So good. And he my family up there is just really good. They have the green thumb, I guess you would call it. So yeah. So this is not black garlic. I don't know if I can grow black garlic down here in Florida, ? Because the way he made it sound, like, he has to plant it and the ground kind of has to freeze.
Yes.
So he plants it, like, before Christmas.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But, yes.
How's your onions doing?
They are growing. The chives and stuff, they're not sprouting like I thought they were. So so that's when I decided, you know what? I don't care what I planted here. I'm just going to dig around it and plant garlic beside it and underneath it and over it. So
that's too funny. I just saw a great recipe for onion roses. And so you take the onions and you roast them. You put a little bit of drizzle oil on an onion, and you just take the whole onion and put it in like a cupcake pan. And you drizzle a little oil on it, a little bit of salt, truffle salt, and a little bit of garlic. And you roast them
at
350 degrees. And it's so delicious.
Oh, does your son have this on his menu at his restaurant?
No, this is Tony and Teresa's restaurant. And so, you know, so, but it, I'll send you the recipe. It looks good.
No. I'll just actually take the product. So I could have a seat for one, please.
There you go. That's it. And so, so I loved growing onions and garlic. It's just amazing. So now, black garlic, it's in zones 2 to 6. So
not Florida.
Yeah, not Florida there. But you know what? Well, it does say, no, I'm sorry. Let me take that back. I take that back. I'm looking at a scrolling. It does grow in zone 10. So have your brother send us some black garlic bulbs, okay? And we'll try it out.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So is it black? I've never heard of it before.
No. No. At least the ones that he gave me weren't black. So
I don't know why they call them black garlic.
I don't know.
It's called Allium nigrum.
Okay.
And it's got fragrant white blooms from late spring to summer, and it's on long, sturdy stems. The easy-to-grow heirlooms are called black garlic. They look stunning when planted in mass, spreading over time to fill in the garden. Okay, we're just going to have to check that out.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah, I don't recall because it's been 2 summers since I was able to make it to Maine. And Chris, my cousin, he, like I said, he said, hey, he's like, Lizzie, he's like, you like garlic, right? I said, yeah. And he goes, and he was like, wah. He like opened up his garage door and they're hanging everywhere. And I'm like, okay, am I in a serial killer movie or is this really cool? Because it was dark and cold.
That's but, wonderful. Yeah, they have to start early and they have to get them in the ground before they grow. So, yes. Yeah. So, but it says zone 10. So I'm definitely going to order some.
Yeah. I was very, very intrigued with it. So,
yeah, I've got to see how they taste.
We'll see. We'll see what my regular plain garlic does.
I love gardening. Don't you love gardening?
I really do. Except for I tend to go overboard with the watering. I just really worry about that. So,
yeah.
I'm really working on it.
We have to put you in therapy, you know, because so people think they need to overwater because it's hot.
Yes.
But plants don't need the same thing that we do. True. Okay. Because if we drink too much water, we can get sick too.
Very true.
You know, so again, just you've got 5 watering sticks on your hands. You stick a finger in the ground. If it's cool, moist, or damp, you do not need to water.
And if you don't like the first one, you always have more.
You can check 9 more times if you don't trust your hands. Okay, this is the time of the year to go ahead and get started. Remember, we got a whole new year of gardening coming up, spring and summer, new season. Clean your water features. Your little goldfish ponds. This is a time to do them. You know, you bring your plants, your lily pads out of the pots, clean them off, make sure you can go ahead and fertilize those. Compost piles, we still have a lot of leaves on our lawns from the trees, from oak trees. Oak trees shed their leaves twice a year. So go ahead and take advantage of the leaves in the ground and create a compost with these leaves. I will tell you, Schumard oaks look amazing right now. They are all so red with the fall color. They look amazing. And so compost pile, yes, you can use leaves as your mulch. This is also a time of year to add more mulch. And you don't want to put down 3 to 4 inches each time you mulch. You just want to keep the ground level. So if there's only 1 inch of mulch or no mulch, you want to add 2 inches to 3 inches. But if you've got 3 inches of mulch, there's really no need to add anymore. So just make sure you have 3 to 4 inches and that you keep it away from the base of the trunk of the shrub or tree so that it can breathe. You want to see the flare at the bottom of your shrub or tree. And I had a really great question last week from one of my clients, because we set out, we planted all the plants and we were going to mulch the next day. But all the plants were out of the ground, and they called and said, you know, are the plants planted correctly? Because they're out of the ground. They're not planted deep enough. And she said, when we were up north, we used to plant all the way down and make sure the mulch and everything was planted in the ground. But here in Florida, we leave our shrubs and trees out of the ground 1 to 2 inches and then put the mulch around because we have sandy soils and our plants and shrubs, they sink. And so after 6 months to a year, if you planted them level with the ground, they're going to be 2 inches lower and they're going to be below ground and they're not going to be able to breathe. So here in Florida, we leave our shrubs and plants, when we plant them, 1 to 2 inches out of the ground, even see some of the roots is fine, and then you bring in the mulch over it. That way, when it settles 6 months to a year later, it is level, okay? You want to be able to see the flare at the bottom of the shrub or tree. And again, I mentioned the orchids. You want to start every other week fertilizing them with a diluted fertilizing solution. And then also, too, check your indoor plants. This is a good time. They've been inside the house. And if you have fungal gnats, Summit Responsible Solutions has just put some mosquito bits and dunks in
there. Yes.
And you do not have mosquitoes. Summit Responsible Solutions has great products. Mm-hmm. Green Armor Insect. They have a caterpillar and webworm control, tick and flea spray. They have a deer ban product that mm-hmm. keeps deers away, which is good. And they have year-round spray oil, which is excellent. Summit Responsible Solutions, they are the best insecticides on the market. They're organic, natural, and it's they're good products.
Yes,
so I'm going to have them on soon.
Yes, and I've used the Green Armor spray, yes. And it actually works very well. I actually went around and sprayed the netting I have on the turkey run area.
Yes.
And so that's helped cut down on a lot of that. So
that's wonderful. Yes. So if people are going to start to go out camping and hiking and things, that Green Armor spray mm-hmm. really is good for keeping ticks and fleas away.
Yes.
So that's
yes.
wonderful. We'd like to say thank you to all of our sponsors, Quality Green Specialist Nursery, Summit Responsible Solutions, Black Cow. Black Cow is wonderful. You can be side dressing with Black Cow right now, manure, putting that down on your vegetable beds. That's going to be great. And then also to Peterson's Nursery. So we want to give them a big thank you. When you see them,
yes.
you appreciate them.
And I do have to redeem myself because now that I looked up the picture of the black garlic that I had,
yes.
it is all black. I have short-term memory loss. So anybody listening going, how did you have this and eat it and you don't remember what color it was?
Yes.
I have short-term memory loss. So looking at it, I'm like, oh, yeah, it was black. Because I was like, ooh, that looks so gross.
I'm writing that down. Short-term memory loss.
Yeah. You're going to use that against me?
No, I'm going to use it. There you go. Thank you so much, Lizzie. You're the best producer in the world. Thank you so much. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, makers of mosquito bits and mosquito dunks, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed anything, go to our website, betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com, and you can listen to things like my short-term memory loss and, pre-emergence and stuff, too. Appreciate you all. Best listeners in the world.